The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome back to Going In Raw News Brief. We're going to try to keep this one brief today. Do us a quick favor. Give us that thumbs up. Hit that subscribe button. Larson, what's in the news?
What's in the news? Of course, Phil Brooks, Bryan Danielson, both been in the news quite a bit this week.
Yeah, they have been.
CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, the news that they might be on their way to AEW. Definitely dominated headlines in the wrestling world. And in the most recent Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer himself, suggested that WWE apparently had no interest, none, zero, no interest in bringing back CM Punk, though he does note that their stance may have changed once reports suggested that he had been talking to AEW about a potential return. Regardless, the source told Dave that the belief within WWE is that Punk has signed with AEW. So that kind of begs the question, why wouldn't WWE want to at least consider bringing back CM Punk? I know in the past, there's that story that they had some sort of internal meeting where Triple H was suggesting that Sheamus be the face of the company rather than CM Punk. But, you know, and granted, the way their relationship ended wasn't exactly on the best of terms. Now, it's been some years since the lawsuit and whatnot, him getting fired on his wedding day. And, you know, if there's mutual interest and the money's right, no reason you'd think that it couldn't happen. But seemingly, if this is to be believed, there was a mutual interest.
If you look at what they're doing right now, I feel like WWE is in a place where a guy like Phil Brooks, maybe, and I'm just throwing this out there, given exactly what you just said with their relationship in the past, might be too much of a headache to be worth it. If he wants, let's say, Brock Lesnar type money, right? Like crazy money. I personally think, and I believe that this will play out whenever he debuts with AEW. If he does, he is a true needle mover. And there's going to be people in our comments who say he's not. There's going to be plenty of people who say he is. I think he is. I totally think he is.
Well, here's the thing. I think he's a needle mover for the AEW crowd. I think he's a needle mover for people who might be more inclined to watch AEW. For people who, I would think maybe within WWE, they might be pessimistic on his ability to be a true needle mover. And it's kind of like a small, ridiculous thing. Because WWE backstage, his first appearance, got a boost after that? Not really. They might think, well, people would watch CM Punk. They would have watched backstage.
I think they are more focused right now. I think what you said is right, although I think that's from their perspective. I think that he's a needle mover for the AEW crowd. I think he's a needle mover for people who have lapsed from away from WWE and would be interested in seeing him come back. I don't think WWE cares about that, though. I don't think they care about that. I don't know if they believe that or not, or if they care about it. But they're more interested in bringing guys like Braun Strowman, who might be coming back. They're more interested in bringing in John Cena, in The Rock. They're interested in what they've always been interested in, and that's the big marquee attractions. I kind of think that they're done with that. I think that any idea that NXT could have countered that is now completely... Either it's Nick Khan or Vince McMahon has come to this realization, but they don't care about that anymore. You're going to see more big men. You're going to see guys like Amos. You're going to see guys like, we've mentioned him on NXT, who I think is going to go straight from the breakout tournament to main roster, Odyssey Jones. Vince McMahon is going to go after big attraction guys. That's what he's going to go after. And that's why you're not going to see Adam Cole on main roster. That's why you're not going to see those kind of guys there. That's why they were okay letting Daniel Bryan go. And Phil Brooks, CM Punk fits into that category. That's what WWE, that's how they think they're going to continue to dominate the landscape of wrestling.
I think that's also probably how they think they're going to differentiate themselves from other wrestling companies.
Yeah.
Is by focusing on, you know, the attractions, the larger wrestlers. You know, nowadays, just because you're a larger wrestler doesn't mean you can't do crazy athletic things, you know?
Yeah, the larger wrestlers today, look at like Keith Lee. I mean, even Braun in that triple threat match, that was so much fun in one of his, it might have been his last match there. He was doing sentons off the off the apron. So I think WWE thinks that, hey, we're done trying to compete in that realm. We're done trying to cater to the AEW type thing, which I personally think is folly. I think they could have their cake and eat it too, but they've elected not to. I think they went around about the Wednesday Night War entirely the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But that's me. I'm not running their business. I'm not in the professional wrestling business. I'm not a promoter. So what do I know? I do know that AEW scored, 1.1 million, which is only 300,000 away or 400,000 away from WWE's low a couple weeks ago. I know that. So they're able to grow a business doing that. Vince doesn't know how to do that, and I don't think he has much of an interest doing that.
No, I don't think so either.
Because why would you go after CM Punk or keep Daniel Bryan? You have The Rock's phone number. Rock ain't going to AEW. And is that going to end up doing anything for WWE? I don't know. You know, you probably think so. Like, they might score a Raw or a SmackDown that gets $3 million. Maybe. The debut of SmackDown did $4 million, so,
yeah.
And Rock was on that, so... I don't know. They got their strategy, and I think they're sticking to it. If you're thinking to yourself, hey, I want to be the Disney of pro wrestling, then maybe that is the way you go. I think they could do both, but they've elected not to.
Yeah, they've seemingly elected to focus on being one thing as opposed to – that's the one thing AEW does pretty well is there's – if you like pro wrestling, there's something for you in AEW. So let's say you're like all of it, but there's something for you there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So. Absolutely.
Let's talk Daniel Bryan, bodyslam.net. They were the site that broke the news that Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, I have to get used to calling him Bryan Danielson now, probably pretty soon, was heading to AEW. Now they have some details on when Bryan and All Elite may have started discussions of a deal. Quote, in an update as to when exactly negotiations began and a deal was struck between Bryan and AEW, I was told that internally it was first discussed to bring him back in May following his contract expiring with WWE. However, no discussion or negotiations were happening at that time. It was purely conjecture then. Talks and negotiations between the two sides did not actually begin until sometime over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
So recent development, seemingly.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. It's you know, I'm looking forward to this. When do they say that the September 22nd show, right? That's when the speculation is that he might show up.
Yep.
That's pretty interesting stuff. I had mentioned this during our first segment. But apparently, Braun Strowman is somebody that WWE wants to bring back to the company. And they had just released him last month. Larson Meltzer is reporting that WWE is interested in re-signing Strowman. And with WWE Shop releasing new Braun Strowman merchandise this week, it's what? Back and...
Badder than ever.
Badder than ever is what it says.
There's that one. And there's another one that says Monsters Are Real, I think.
I think he had that one before, though.
Oh, all right.
I think I remember he had that.
I didn't know if it was necessarily chronological order when things were released. But
the back and Badder Than Ever, I don't see how that could be. Yeah, that's got to be.
That wouldn't make any sense.
Pretty sure
that wouldn't make any sense if they had put that out like 2 months ago.
That wouldn't make any sense. So, I mean, if that shirt's to be believed. And again, Braun's one of those guys that WWE probably, it's like if they're going in this direction, they're like, hey, you know what? NXT is going to be basically a footnote at this point. It's going to be on par with 205 Live. There are cute little takeovers at the CWC are going to be fun for you wrestling nerds out there. But that's all it's going to be, really.
200 or 300 select wrestling fans. Yes,
right, exactly. Yes. By the way, holy crap! That story about we didn't really talk about this. I don't think. But during the latest round, we didn't want to spoil any of the taping stuff. There's some cool stuff. It sounds like that's going on in some tapings.
Yes, yes, yes.
But one of the funnier things that came out about one of the recent NXT tapings was apparently Cross was getting heckled with Hardy chants so bad that they had to. What did they get, Larson? that they had to refilm it, and they tricked the audience. They said, hey, we got something fantastic coming through. Keep it up. We're going to do this for you guys. So, and then Cross comes out, and everybody's expecting something to happen, and they just sort of refilm what they had filmed with him, which I think might have just been an entrance. I don't know. And so, yeah, they pulled the clip. Dude, what's going to happen at the next? I mean, maybe, I guess maybe, between now and then, they're going to have to fix this on Raw. By getting
he'll get a win over Hardy.
I'm assuming
still,
he's getting a win on Hardy on Monday.
To a degree, say he can't come back. To a degree, the bloom has kind of come off the rose a little bit.
But in terms of that specific chant, Hardy, Hardy.
Oh, what they got to do is keep him off NXT TV in terms of being in front of fans until Takeover.
Right.
And he has the match. Joe beats him. Everybody forgets about it. He teleports out.
At this point, they're going to do that, right? He's not going to be in front of that crowd, right?
I think so. I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't risk it. Keep everything backstage.
Oh, man. That's great. That's absolutely so great. So, yeah, Braun Strowman. I think they want big people, and I think they want people who are going to comply with the system. CM Punk has always been very outspoken. I mean, that's just his thing. He's outspoken. Yeah. He knows his value. And I don't know. He's probably just from WWE standpoint, it's probably a headache to deal. Oh, this guy keeps on wanting to do creative stuff.
That's just entirely possible.
Just do shit. I know you want to get your shit in. Just do our shit.
But I wonder too, if with Braun, they would have kept him if not for the size of his contract. Now, if they could bring him back for a fraction of what they were paying him,
maybe that could be,
cause in the report here, from Meltzer, the I guess the feeling within higher up to WWE was that Braun was a couple of years past his prime. And if they're paying him, a sizable deal and they don't think they're getting the return on their investment, then I guess that's probably why they cut him. And if they think they can bring it back for less money, I'm sure they would do it. Whether Braun would be interested in that, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
But as far as him being 2 years past his prime, I think physically, I don't think that's the case. Based on what we saw just recently from him.
What did he have a prime of, 15 minutes or so? What was the window of his prime? I mean,
his feud with Roman.
He doesn't have. Yeah, he doesn't have to do anything. Here's the thing. I know that his thing is that train where he runs around. But you can get rid of that. I don't know. You can totally get rid of that. But fans totally like that. I get it. It's not everything. Not everything.
The problem
for
with
us.
Braun wasn't so much what he was doing at the ring, because I feel like that's been more or less the same.
That
for
dude
the last
did a
four
he did a
years.
Flip and senton off the apron. I don't want to hear anything about his in ring.
It's like they were booking him basically perfectly during his feud with Roman.
That was great.
And then after that, it's been a lot of hit and miss.
Yeah, dude. They fast tracked him to celebrity guy. They had him be a tag team partner with Nicholas. They completely buried that, the mystique
they,
on Braun
they
Strowman.
They completely bungled his Money of the Bank cash in.
Mm-hmm.
All that was so bad.
Yeah.
They had him turn heel just for that cash in. It was awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah. They didn't know. They had the Braun Roman. I'm sorry, the Brock Roman stuff, roping Braun into that was a bad idea.
Yep.
Remember that time Brock almost punched him out. Anyways, Larson, I'm assuming the New Japan title is back. No, that's the fantasy football one. I can't see the
no,
New
no, no. It's the Intercontinental one on top. Under that, is the New Japan. You want me to go get it real quick?
It's up to you. It's up to
I
you.
I can get it. Go ahead.
You see my titles back there? They're not actually back there. So anyways, New Japan's Wrestle Grand Slam is coming up this weekend. I think it's on Saturday night or Sunday night. One of the two. It should be pretty exciting. Hey, Larson, when is the Wrestle Grand Slam? Is it Sunday night or Saturday night?
It's Sunday local time, so it'll be Saturday for us.
So Saturday at midnight, because I know it's I think it's probably Saturday around midnight. Look at that beautiful title. It's upside down, but it still looks great.
Oh,
So I'm gunning for that thing, man, because I don't know. I might lose this AEW title come next week, and then I'll just have the Impact title. That's safe and sound for a little while anyways. So
next month.
So, yeah, we've got Wrestle Grand Slam. It's the August pay-per-view that Larson is elected to defend that
July.
The July pay-per-view that Larson is elected to defend that title. And we're going to go ahead and do predictions on that. So, yeah, dude, where do you want to start?
We'll start with the New Japan Rambo Battle Royal. I believe it's for King of Pro Wrestling, the provisional trophy, and it's also got a handcuff stipulation where you can eliminate people the traditional means, but also if you handcuff them to the ropes, they're stuck there for the rest of the match.
I get the feeling that...
Which sounds great.
So here's my take on this. I don't know who's going to be in this besides the guy who's going to win it. That's Yano.
Yeah.
I feel like Yano's going to get handcuffed pretty early on and still find a way to win. I've got one confidence point because I have no idea who else is in this match or what's going to happen.
Yeah, 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 totally. I mean, both myself and the Enforcer have Yano one confidence point. I mean, I feel pretty good about the chances of Yano winning, but in a match with 10, 20, 15 people in it, you can't put like six confidence points on a match many participants.
I'm assuming everybody has one, so it's just a wash,
yes.
Right? Okay,
yeah.
Okay, good. Part of me wants to go with Dick Togo. I don't know why. I don't know why. Part of me wants to go with Dick Togo.
I mean, if you want, I will. If you want to change pick and throw away a confidence point, have at it.
May I ask for this? May I, for this one time exception, can I see where everybody else's picks are before I do this one?
No, you have to make a decision right now before you move on to the next one.
Yano with one, then, for God's sake.
All right, very well. Very well. Next, junior heavyweight tag titles. Got the champions, Taiji Ishimori and LP, taking on Rocky Romero and Taguchi.
The master coaches. The master coaches. I've got the master coaches with two confidence points.
Oh, my gosh.
They are decorated junior tag team champions. This entire story revolves around finding out what is afoot with LP's boot. I feel like the master coaches are going to figure it out, and I feel like Ishimori and LP are going to chase the master coaches for those titles after they are exposed for the loaded boot master coaches with two, Larson.
Well, Ishimori and LP just won these belts not that long ago, I believe. They're not going to lose them to Rocky Romero and Taguchi. No way.
All right.
Three confidence points.
All right. There
Ishimori,
you go, then.
LP. So here's the thing. Master coaches can solve the case, find out what the deal is with that boot, and still lose the match.
I'm aware.
So but I got Ishimori at LP with three, and Forrester's got Ishimori at LP with two.
All right. I'm feeling good right now.
Really?
Next
all
up.
Right. We'll see.
Next
no
up.
No disrespect to Rocky Romero and Taguchi. I just don't see it happening.
All right. All right.
I just don't see it happening. Next, junior heavyweight championship match, Robbie Eagles challenging El Desperado. I got El Desperado six confidence points. He's holding that belt. He's holding that belt till he loses it to Dick and Time Bomb.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I have five confidence points because there's just one that I have more confidence in. It's actually, oh, wait, hold on a second. I'm sorry. Where did I have three? Oh, I guess. Okay, I'm sorry. Five. Sorry, I've got. Yeah, five confidence points on that.
All right, five on Desperado. It's Forrester's got three on El Desperado retaining.
Yeah, that makes sense. He's got three on Desperado. Okay.
Yeah. Next, Okada versus Jeff Cobb. This match is going to be awesome. Can't wait to check this one out. Who do you got, Steve?
I've got the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, with four confidence points. Jeff Cobb's not there yet, and I think the go home math, the summer struggle shows. Have been panning out to show that this is going to be an Okada win.
Yeah, Jeff Cobb has been wrecking,
yeah,
like members of Chaos at every show, which means Okada's definitely going to get that win. Next, for the tag titles, we got the champions, Sonata and Naito, taking on Dangerous Techers, Zack Sabre Jr., Taichi. Who do you got, Steve?
I got the Dangerous Techers getting those titles back. They seem to flip these titles. I know my poll. I put a poll up on the Twitter to poll the people. I kind of feel like they're in the wrong here. They did gave LIJ like 70.
It was like 70-some% of
the 78%. But I think if you look at it, they're really doing this. This is basically, this program has been to establish Dangerous Techers as a big deal in terms of a tag team. They've already bested Gorilla's Destiny, who are like one of the most decorated tag teams ever. having Naito and Sonata, who are two singles guys, get these titles, it's not a big deal if they lose this to a superior tag team. They've shown the Techers to be hungrier. They established Taichi as a real threat by beating Naito earlier in the in Summer Struggle. And then there's the go-home math where Zack Sabre Jr. is walking into this match with a bum leg, which kind of makes them the underdog, which is going to make the victory even more impressive. So I've got Dangerous Techers with three confidence points.
Three confidence points. I have the Techers with two. One thing you forgot to mention is that the last show in singles action,
yeah,
Sonata and Naito both beat Sabre in Taichi.
Right.
That was the de facto go-home because in the next show, I think tonight or tomorrow, there's no contest between these four men. So, yeah, it seems like Techers are walking out of Wrestle Grand Slam with those titles. Enforcer has the Techers with four confidence points.
All right.
Finally, the main event. Hopefully it happens. I know Kota Ibushi has been sick. So if this match happens, Kota Ibushi versus Shingo Takagi, I'd be surprised they didn't have some sort of title bout, you know, whether Kota can make it or not. Regardless, I feel like Shingo, he just won that belt. They still need to establish him as champ. He's walking out Wrestle Grand Slam as champion. I got five confidence points.
Okay, so can we clarify this as well? If this is Shingo Takagi versus anybody else, this match stands, like, in terms of our predictions?
Yeah.
I guess the only thing, are we then allowed to, like, the precedent says, if they cancel a title match outright...
We re-rack,
right? Where I'm able to shift these confidence points over to Desperado for five or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it would just disappear. Yeah, mine would just disappear. Yeah, that makes sense. And then you could just, I got Shingo with six. I got all the confidence points here. I think if it happens, if it doesn't happen, Shingo's going to walk out with that title.
Totally. All right, let's talk Impact. Jam-packed Impact last night.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Kicked off with Chris Bay defeating Rohit Raju, kind of bookending that was Jay White's efforts to recruit Chris Bay into Bullet Club. And at first, Chris Bay was like, "Hey, you know, I'm my own man. I do things myself." And Jay White was like, "Well, how far has that gotten you?" That wasn't the last we'd see of Chris Bay and Jay White.
That's correct.
During this episode.
After that, we had Gail Kim coming out to broker a peace agreement, the peace accords between Mickey James and Deonna Purrazzo. Mickey James come out, cut a promo saying, "Hey, listen, man, no disrespect for me giving you Kiki James on Sunday, but I want to invite you to Empower, the all women pay-per-view." And Deonna's like, "You need to grovel." And then Gail Kim came out and said, "Hey, like, yeah, no, she doesn't. Can you just do this?" And they did it.
Yeah, pretty much. We had Matt Cardona, Chelsea Green, and Jake Something defeating Brian Myers, Tennille Dashwood, and Sam Beal.
My new favorite faction of Brian Myers, Tennille Dashwood, Caleb with a K, and Sam Beal. They're great.
Sam Beal, although it didn't last very long because Tennille Dashwood said she wasn't going to team with Brian Myers in the homecoming tournament that's coming up. Chelsea Green got the win here, pinning Sam Beal.
Yeah, it was pretty great. It was kind of awesome. Sam Beal was awesome. After that, Jay White comes out, cuts a bit of a babyface promo, calling out David Finley. The Good Brothers and Kenny come out to confront him. Kenny seems taken aback by Jay White mentioning that he had beaten Kenny already and says, "Oh, this conversation will continue another time." Yeah. Then Kenny Omega bumps into Josh Alexander on the way out. Man, I pitched this idea a couple weeks ago. This is what I want to see. Josh Alexander cash in on that option C on Kenny Omega. I think that'd be terrific. And then you could do Moose versus Josh Alexander because we already got Moose versus Kenny Omega, Larson.
That's true.
And Moose can't even get past Chris Sabin, for God's sakes.
Yeah, that's weird. He totally should have beat Chris Sabin at Slammiversary.
He will next week.
Oh, yeah. I expect him to destroy Chris Sabin. Finn Juice, David Finley, and Juice Robinson defeated Ace Austin and Madman Fulton. Madman Fulton was getting dumped out of the ring left and right. He ate the pin here.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rough night at the office for Madman Fulton.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Rich Swann and Illy Mack were cutting a promo in like the little log cabin space that they have, the steakhouse. Mm-hmm. And Violent by Design attacked and just completely annihilated these two guys. Oof.
Yeah, it was like something out of a horror movie because the lights were, you know, flashing on and off.
Yeah, it looked pretty gnarly.
They got teleported in.
I get the feeling that Swan and Willie Mack are probably going to end up with those tag titles, though.
At some point. At some point. Then the match was made next week. Rematch, I should say. Moose versus Chris Sabin. Happening next week. And then main event saw Rosemary and Havoc successfully defend the tag titles against Kira Hogan, Tosh Steeles, which could very well be Kira Hogan's last match in Impact.
It could be. I wonder if they're going to give her like a little send off, little some story stuff, film something saying her saying goodbye to Tosha Steeles. I don't know. We'll find out maybe next week on Impact Wrestling.
I don't know. Let's talk about SmackDown. There's a SmackDown tonight. Three segments announced. John Cena is going to pay a visit to the head of the table on SmackDown.
John Cena. Will he be wearing his peacemaker attire? Bianca Belair and Carmella are set for a title rematch at Rolling Loud. So apparently they're going to be like, it's going to be like WrestleMania 2 again, where they go to a different venue. Ah, live right from Rolling Loud. The sweet science of professional wrestling.
Oh, there it is. also announced Big E versus Apollo Crews is also going to happen, I believe, at Rolling Loud.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, the sweet science of professional wrestling here at Rolling Loud, Cleveland. Anyways, that's going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Join us tonight for our SmackDown recap at either 7 or 7:30, depending. If something really cool happens, we do it at 7. If it's like, yeah, whatever, it's 7:30.
Yeah. Exactly. Take a more casual approach. Yeah, whatever.
Exactly, whatever. Anyways, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.